Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 31st of August, 2024, and the title of this week's show is Operation Warp Speed Reveal, Harris Walt's Big Fail, and Trump Dream Team. And I'm going to start today with an article by Stop World Control. And I had this for a few weeks now, but I didn't get time to cover it on previous shows because I left it to the end. But I think it's really important to share because there are still people out there, and I'm talking about Operation Warp Speed now, that are uncomfortable with how Trump handled the COVID-19 pandemic while he was still in office, and particularly about him bragging about the vaccine and his Operation Warp Speed. Well, I've read quite a number of theories about what was the real reason behind the way that Trump presented his achievement in relation to the vaccine, and especially in relation to the number of lives he claimed were saved because of it. Stop World Control, who has done quite a number of good documentaries, he's put together how Operation Warp Speed saved America from the FEMA death camps. Many of us are concerned that Trump could be part of the cabal because he released the pandemic vaccines with Operation Warp Speed. That is indeed a valid concern if we merely look at the surface of things. However, when we have the courage to look a whole lot deeper to what the true motivation behind this operation was, we find something absolutely astonishing. What if I told you that without Warp Speed, you could have been in one of the many re-education camps that have been built all around the USA and worldwide? What if I told you the original plan of the cabal was to keep the world population in lockdown for at least 2 years, possibly three? They wanted to make sure that the entire world would be in total ruins. Every small business had to be destroyed, the entire middle class had to be wiped out, and every single member of humanity, except for the super rich, had to be plunged into extreme poverty and despair. Then they would have offered the glorious salvation of the Great Reset, cancellation of all debts that would have resulted from the lockdowns, but in return everyone would have to surrender all private possessions and become fully dependent on the elites for everything. And there's a screenshot from World Economic Forum's website. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Huh. They made this agenda clear with their statement that by 2030 no one would own anything. Let that sink in. How on earth could they make this public statement? In their official WEF article about the new world proposed to become reality by 2030, the World Economic Forum declared that everyone would be renting everything, from cars to clothes to homes to tools, everything. Nobody would own anything. Shopping would be a thing of the past. Extreme communism. The world population in absolute poverty, completely dependent on the ruling elites, who would own everything. They made it public and official. This was their agenda with the years of lockdowns, to make the world so broken and desperate that everyone would accept this great reset as the only way out. Are you aware that this is what Donald Trump saved you from? And not just you, but the entire world. Both Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci said that it would be at least 2 years before the vaccines would be ready. And even then, it would still be many months until the world would be opened up. Their plan was crystal clear for all to hear and see in plain view, nothing hidden. 2 to 3 years of lockdowns, followed by a new world with mankind in total enslavement to the elites. But they failed miserably. Why? Because Trump released the vaccines 1 to 2 years sooner than was planned, which ended the lockdowns way too early for their plan to succeed, hence the name Warp Speed. Do you understand the gravity and impact of this strategic move? And yet that's not all. Have you heard of the hellish FEMA camps that have been built all across America and worldwide? Almost every country suddenly started building these concentration camps. There are about 800 such camps scattered across America alone. Plans were unveiled to round up all Americans who were non-compliant with government tyranny. Visualize this. If lockdowns had continued for 2 years, millions of people would have begun to rebel forcefully, which would have been the perfect excuse for the tyrants to imprison them as national security threats. That was the plan to, once and for all, get rid of every opponent of the tyranny. Naturalnews.com did a lot of reporting on this. And there's an image which is an example of a FEMA camp. Most can house about 20,000 people. Imagine how many Americans could have been locked up for not obeying criminal orders from a corrupt government. Trump prevented that as well by ending the lockdowns 1 to 2 years sooner than the plan. He saved America and the world in more ways than we are aware of. Let's keep looking a little further below the surface, shall we? Did Trump really give us the vaccines? Of course not. They would have come anyway. It was never his idea. Read that again. The vaccines would have come anyway. If Trump hadn't released them, the cabal would have. Only they wanted to wait 2 to 3 years. That was essential to their plan. The vaccines were not Trump's idea. On the contrary, for several months he begged the entire world to please understand how many effective treatments there were for the pandemic. He tweeted about them dozens of times, made several public videos about hydroxychloroquine, and was smeared with the worst dirt by the media for doing so. By doing so, he effectively removed the need for a vaccine, because if there is a cure, no vaccine is needed and by law cannot be authorized for emergency use. And there's a list of 26 tweets by Trump about hydroxychloroquine. Don't tell me he didn't try his hardest to inform the world. And there are a couple of examples. Treatment with hydroxychloroquine cut the death rate significantly in sick patients hospitalized with COVID-19 and without heart-related side effects, according to a new study published by Henry Ford Health System. And another one says, I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m., feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed, under the Trump administration, some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. I think that was after he was supposedly tested positive for COVID. Trump also made personal videos in which he told the world about powerful therapeutics, and one of them was him saying that he's taking hydroxychloroquine. Finally, after telling humanity for months on end about hydroxychloroquine and other treatments, he had no choice but to release the vaccines in order to end the lockdowns. Was there no other way? Could he have ended the pandemic and reopened the entire world without the vaccines? Sadly, no. Decades of all-encompassing brainwashing of the entire world population and mind-controlling every single nurse and physician on the face of the earth had too firmly established the false belief that nothing but a vaccine can protect humans against an illness. The world wouldn't and didn't accept anything other than an injection to end the lockdowns. That is the horrible result of over a century of silencing all true scientists and physicians and imposing diabolical propaganda onto the minds of the entire world. Nobody would have accepted anything else to reopen the world but a vaccine. So Trump had to release it. He had no choice. Meanwhile, he continually said there should be no mandates, everyone is free to choose, nobody should be forced. The plan for long-term lockdowns still exists. But why does Trump keep defending the vaccines despite the many adverse events? Because he knows that the plan to destroy the world through years of lockdowns still exists. The agenda to wipe out every single small business and plunge the entire world population into extreme poverty still remains. The strategy to first demolish the economy of every nation and then offer the Great Reset as a salvation is as alive as ever. And there is more going on than meets the eye, with all of the exposés of just how bad the vaccines really are. Many of the so-called heroes who are exposing the vaccines are actually playing a role in this plan. What is this plan? Since vaccines were used to end the lockdowns during the first pandemic, the cabal is ensuring that with the next pandemic, vaccines will no longer be able to do that. This time, they want to make sure to lock the world down for several years. The bioweapons developed in the Ukrainian biolabs under control of the US deep state have a mortality rate of nearly 40%. If they release these weapons on humanity, the disaster will be so severe that they will have the excuse to lock down all of us for as long as is needed to ensure success of their agenda. And this time, no vaccine will open the world because they are making sure that everyone knows how ineffective vaccines are. Will they give no vaccines for the next pandemic? Of course they will, to kill as many people as they can. The vaccines will be there for sure, but they will no longer be enough to end lockdowns. I believe that is why Trump has been defending the vaccines, even after the many adverse events, because he knows their plan. Mass mind control in the truth movement. Therefore, I humbly ask you to stop being a sheep that listens to the popular voices out there, even the popular voices in the so-called truth and awaken movement. Because make no mistake, millions upon millions of people who say, I am no longer a sheep, are still full-blown sheep, only now they follow different shepherds. There is mass mind control in the truth movements just as well as in the rest of the world. We are just as prone to propaganda as anyone else, only this time it comes from voices we trust to be truth speakers and freedom fighters. We tend to believe them blindly because they are exposing the vaccines without understanding that some of them are pushing us into years of lockdowns. Evil is far more insidious and masterful than we can ever imagine. Should we not expose vaccines? Of course we should, but just be aware that not everyone doing so has the right motivation. Some even do it with the sole purpose of attacking Trump, and most awake people fall for it hook, line and sinker. You don't have to agree with me, but at least allow the space for exploration and deep seeking of understanding. Don't get upset when someone like me challenges your beliefs. Dare to be challenged. Question your own beliefs. What is at stake is too grave to be superficial, and it's too serious to let our emotions and opinions rule our mind. We have to be willing to lay aside our pride and have a much deeper look at the facts. David Sorensen, StopWorldControl.com. And of course, we've had a real game changer in the case of RFK Jr. joining Trump's re-election campaign. And of course, he has exposed vaccines for years now through the Child Health Defense Organization. And also, I think he was involved in the Vaxxed documentary that was made, which was excellent. And of course, this is all part of the Make America Healthy Again project that he's going to be heading up in Trump's administration. And Trump himself has never been a fan of vaccines either. So having RFK Jr., who is an expert on these matters and into the food system, you know, big food and so on, as well as big pharma. But also he announced this week that he was going after chemtrails, which is something that I think everyone around the world is going to support big time. Not to mention 5G as well, I expect. As I've said many times in previous shows, you cannot take anything Trump says at face value. He communicates things in quite cryptic ways. And, you know, this was the whole point of the Q movement, to prompt people to research things and, in many cases, use Gematria to translate these coded messages into what he really was communicating. And of course, the deep state haven't given up. You can tell that by the fact that the WHO is peddling all these stories about these deadly viruses that are going to be taking over the world. Sloth virus is one of the latest. It's quite comical, really. And bird flu, monkeypox, which is limited to mainly the gay community and also is definitely not the cause of deaths that they're claiming. So the whole narrative is failing. And with all the information now in the public domain about the lethality of the COVID mRNA vaccines or gene therapies, people are just not going to line up for more vaccines, which is one of their main tools in the depopulation agenda. So I do wish that those in the conservative alternative media would really stop bringing up this criticism of Trump when he actually did save millions of lives by not allowing the imposition of these 2-year-long lockdowns. So let's not put voters off for something that actually isn't true. So finally this week, Kamala Harris came out of the basement, as it were, and actually sat for an interview with CNN. But she couldn't do it alone. She had to have her sidekick, Tim Walz, with her to hold her hand. And to nobody's surprise, who isn't a brainwashed Democratic Party supporter, it was no surprise when it became an absolute disaster and has been called a train wreck, amongst other things. So it happened Thursday. The Vigilant Fox reported on it. Kamala Harris falters in cringeworthy CNN interview. I watched it so that you didn't have to. Brace yourself. Kamala Harris's first interview as the Democratic nominee just dropped, and she brought in VP pick Tim Walz to comfort her. Remarkably, it took her less than a minute to bring up Donald Trump, claiming Americans are ready for, quote, a new way forward, end quote, and that it's time to, quote, turn the page on Trump. What she failed to mention is that she's literally been in power for 3.5 years. Then something remarkable happened. CNN unexpectedly asked a good question, pressing Harris on economic issues. Bash brought up Harris's campaign slogan, "We're not going back," and asked, "I wonder what you say to voters who do want to go back when it comes to the economy, specifically because their groceries were less expensive, housing was more affordable when Donald Trump was president." Harris's response fell flat, but the questioning didn't stop there. Bash put Harris on the spot over her shifting stance on fracking. Harris had previously stated in 2019, "There is no question I'm in favour of banning fracking." But now she claims, "I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020 that I would not ban fracking as vice president." What? Bash pushed back on Kamala a second time, reminding her that she previously said she was in favour of banning fracking. Then came the question about the border crisis, a glaring issue for the Biden-Harris administration. When Bash asked why it took 3.5 years to implement asylum restrictions amidst record illegal border crossings, Harris didn't hesitate to shift the blame to Trump. Yes, this really happened. Her administration has had nearly 4 years to address the border, and yet she circles back to Trump as the scapegoat. Bash questioned Kamala on Trump's allegations of turning black for political purposes. After a long and awkward pause, Kamala replied that Trump's using the same old tired playbook before saying, "Next question, please." This is actually a new play that Trump developed for Kamala Harris specifically. Tim Walz finally got his first question when his claims of serving in war crumbled on air. In a 2018 video clip, Walz said, "We can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at." The truth is that Walz never served in war. And when confronted on it, Walz dodged the question before blaming his misleading statement on poor English. Then the most important question of the night dropped. CNN's Dana Bash asked Harris if she had any regrets about hiding Biden's cognitive decline from the public. Kamala said with a straight face, "No." Remarkably, she continued to gaslight the public even more by saying Biden is smart and has the intelligence and judgment to serve as president. Next came the most painful moment to watch of the night. Kamala Harris broke down in tears when she recalled the day that Joe Biden told her that he was dropping out of the race. She continued to tell an elaborate story of how she was eating breakfast when it happened. And he recommends you skip the video unless you can handle it. In the final moments, Kamala attempted to quell the concerns of every doubter who's called her a DEI hire. "Listen, I'm running because I believe that I am the best person to do this job at this moment for all Americans, regardless of race and gender." Now, you know things are bad when even the New York Times turns against her. This was from Gateway Pundit on the 27th. Breaking: New York Times turns on Kamala, publishes numerous op-eds on weak, phony and ignorant Democrat nominee. We didn't expect this on our 2024 bingo card. The old grey lady turned on Kamala chameleon. Has the New York Times turned on Kamala, the nation's most unpopular vice president? It's hard to imagine. The Times on Friday posted a hit on Kamala Harris titled "Joy is Not a Strategy." Then on Monday, the New York Times published an op-ed titled "Trump Can Win on Character," something that must have made the leftist elites vomit in their mouths. It didn't take long for the happy boost from the fantasy convention to flatline. On Monday night, former Biden spokesperson Jen Psaki faced a harsh reality when Don Lemon told her that no one knows who Kamala Harris is in the swing states he visited last week. Maybe that's good news, though. The more people learn about Kamala, the less they like her. The Daily Mail reported, "Ever since President Joe Biden dropped out of the 2024 election race last month, their print presses and TV networks have put in a hard shift trying to paper over Harris's past record as the most unpopular vice president in American history. To read and listen to their florid praise is to believe that Harris is already a shoo-in for president and not an 11th-hour replacement as Democratic nominee." The reliably liberal New York Times was among the first to suddenly change tack on Friday, taking aim at what many perceived to be Harris's fatal lack of clear policy with a brutal headline that read, "Joy is not a strategy." In a sour commentary, New York Times deputy opinion editor Patrick Healy said he'd cringed when former President Bill Clinton took the convention stage on Tuesday to claim that Harris would be the president of joy. How's that going to help the millions of Americans whose livelihoods are now at stake? Healy asked. And why has Harris failed to conduct a single interview or serious press conference since Biden stepped aside last month? Ultimately, she needs more voters in the swing states to trust her to handle the economy better than her opponent. Harris can't coast on joy, he concluded witheringly. But worse was to come from the Times. On Monday, the newspaper published a guest essay titled "Trump Can Win on Character" by conservative commentator Rich Lowry. Pulling no punches, Lowry wrote that Harris is weak and a phony and doesn't truly care about the country or the middle class. But don't get your hopes up. It's not like they found Jesus all of a sudden. Far from it. That, of course, was before the disastrous interview that she did with CNN. And this is from Vigilant News. Pundits come down hard on Kamala's train wreck interview beyond the headlines. This did not go well at all. The verdict is in. Kamala Harris's CNN interview was a word salad disaster. Even David Axelrod, Obama's former strategist, admitted she hadn't moved the ball forward that much. CNN's Scott Jennings painted a bleaker picture for Harris, predicting Donald Trump will be salivating at the chance to face her in a debate. Polling expert Frank Luntz piled on, tweeting, "A lot of people think Kamala Harris has done well so far in this interview. I disagree. A good debater will find it easy to challenge her." Vegas agrees. In one short day, Kamala's betting odds have tanked. Trump's chances of winning improved from 48.8% before the interview to 51.2% by Friday morning. It's not a question of if something is going to happen, but when. Coffee and COVID, which is one of my favourite Substacks because he's got real humour, he posted an article on Friday. The key thing I want to cover is, of course, the interview. In another media slip-up, New York Times opinion editor Michelle Cottle wrote an overly optimistic piece about Kamala's very first softball interview on CNN last night with a headline that is a lesson in being damned by faint praise. Kamala Harris's TV interview was a solid first effort. A first effort? A first effort at what? Kamala's been taking up space in the White House as the nation's second highest official for almost 4 years now. And before that, she spent 5 years in the Senate. Before that, she served as California's state attorney general. If you're praising someone with Kamala Devi Harris's resume as delivering a solid first effort at handling a short softball interview with Dana Bash, well, you're really saying something else. Calling it solid implies there's significant room for improvement, which is not exactly a quality you want in a president. Framing her interview as a first effort erased Kamala's professional achievements and expertise, if there is any, and would be unthinkably disrespectful if applied to a man. We should also note Kamala's insistence on having Tim Walz attend the 18-minute interview. She needed a man. I assume that's how Tim identifies, but you never know these days. This dumbing down is so like Democrats. The op-ed's condescending tone and infantilizing low expectations are what Democrats always wheel out for women and black people. They can't help themselves. It's not just me saying that, it's science. From the Washington Post, 2018. White liberals dumb themselves down when they speak to black people, a new study contends. During the interview, Kamala gamely defended her flip-flopping, insisting that even if her policy positions have reversed, her underlying values have not changed, which is also exactly what billionaire Mark Cuban said, so it's just a nonsense line they fed her with a silver spoon. What does that even mean? Not to strain the point, but what's the big dichotomy supposed to be? something between Kamala's underlying values and what? Her gut versus her intellectual mind? I don't get it. She didn't say her position changed through learning any new facts. Of course, everybody knows Kamala's values blather wasn't meant to be meaningful. It was just more politically expedient babble. So today I'm officially suggesting another possible nickname for President Trump to consider, Kamala Chameleon. I think he's a bit late on that one because Trump had already called her that some time ago when she claimed to be a black woman, if you remember. It might not have been such a good idea to bring Waltz. The Times token conservative commenter Brett Stevens found Waltz's part of the interview to be even worse than Kamala's, since the vice presidential candidate was transparently evasive in answering Dana Bash's questions about his misstatement about his military service, false claims about a Dewey arrest, and misleading statements about his family's fertility treatments. Can a horrible candidate selected at the last minute be successfully reintroduced to the American people through heavy propaganda and media lifting? We shall see. In another section of the article, he sounds the death knell on one of her policies. The cackling chickens are coming home to roost. Only one day after I suggested Kamala's unearned gains tax would fluster the Democrat donor class, the New York Times ran a back-walking story this morning headlined, "Donors Quietly Push Harris to Drop Tax on Ultra-Wealthy." Well, but they're not pushing that quietly, apparently, since the story made the top of the Times' website. As Rush Limbaugh would have said, "See, I told you so." The article included some accidental hilarity. Kamala insider and billionaire Mark Cuban told reporters, "From what I've been told, everything is on the table. Nothing's been decided yet. Ha ha, if no policies have been decided on yet and everything is on the table, then what platform are Democrats voting for? Who cares? Whee!" Cuban also basically called Kamala an emotionally based professional flip-flopper with no ideas of her own. The key is she focuses on her values and is not an ideologue about any particular program, he lamely explained. The CEO of cloud storage startup Box.com, who's already given Kamala's campaign $30,000, told The Times he and other tech CEOs are living in a cloud cuckoo-like state of denial. "There's optimism that this can't possibly be real," Mr. Levi hopefully suggested. Another optimistic CEO of an international investment company, Charles Myers, is hanging on to a firewall of belief that even if it can possibly be real, then even a Democrat-controlled Congress would never pass the new tax. Probably. Well, at least they are optimistic about something, practically joyful. And then we have a body language expert. Slate News reports, Kamala Harris lacked presidential demeanor in first interview. A body language expert has concluded that Democrat presidential nominee Kamala Harris doesn't have the confidence or the overall demeanor to be president. While voters are still no clearer about Harris's policy plans following her vague answers during the heavily edited, pre-recorded 18-minute interview, her body language may have given away more than her responses. Throughout the interview, Harris frequently looked down while responding to questions, suggesting a lack of confidence, body language expert Susan Constantine explained. "When I look at her overall demeanor, she does not carry the confidence or the presidential appearance in her demeanor to command in her position," Constantine told Fox News. "So for everything that I saw last night, she definitely needs to make some tweaks to her body language to appear more confident. The fact that she's looking down a lot removes a lot of the fluidity and the authenticity," she added. "I must say, when I saw a clip of her, I thought she was looking down and reading notes, which wouldn't surprise me at all. Especially as she's been trying to change the rules on the debate with Donald Trump. She wants it seated and be able to have notes with her. So she obviously can't just reel off her policies because she hasn't got a clue what they are. And this is the final nail in the coffin of this particular segment. Slay News again reports most Americans see Kamala Harris as deceptive, Trump as authentic, poll shows. Most Americans say they view President Donald Trump as authentic, but don't feel the same way about his Democrat presidential rival Kamala Harris, a new poll has revealed. A recent poll by Economist and YouGov has unveiled significant perceptions among Americans regarding the sincerity of Harris and Trump. The poll, which took place from August 25th to 27th, surveyed 1,554 Americans, including 1,368 registered voters, capturing a broad spectrum of political views across the nation. According to the results, 53% of Americans and 54% of registered voters believe that Vice President Harris primarily tells people what they want to hear, rather than expressing her true beliefs. Conversely, only 35% of Americans and 39% of registered voters feel that Harris is sincere when she speaks. The response reveals a challenging public relations landscape for Harris as she navigates her role as the Democrat nominee. Meanwhile, people are asking the question, who's running the country? This is Gateway Pundit, and it was published on the 28th. Who is running the country? Joe Biden lounges on the beach as he enjoys his second straight week of vacation on taxpayer dime. And of course, Kamala Harris has been doing a bus tour, doing very low turnout rallies. 81-year-old Joe Biden has pretty much checked out since he dropped out of the 2024 presidential race on July 21st after Obama, Pelosi, Kamala forced him off the ballot in a coup. Joe Biden lounged on the beach in Delaware enjoying his endless vacation on taxpayer dime. He and his family on Sunday returned to Delaware after a week-long vacation in Santa Barbara, California. Joe Biden is spending another 9 days on vacation at his Rehoboth Beach, Delaware house. He has spent more than 40% of his presidency on vacation with no visitor logs. American taxpayers are spending millions of dollars on planes, helicopters, motorcades, and Secret Service to ferry Biden's family of parasites all over the country on endless vacations. And while this train wreck is continuing to go off the rails, Trump is building his dream team. Again from Slay News, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. named honorary co-chairs of Trump's presidential transition team. President Donald Trump has added independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and former Democrat Representative Tulsi Gabbard, who was, of course was a Democrat, to his 2024 presidential transition team. It comes after Kennedy just last Friday suspended his campaign in key swing states and endorsed Trump. Gabbard and Kennedy will join Trump's sons, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, as well as the 45th president's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican Ohio, as honorary co-chairs of his transition team, according to a Tuesday report from the New York Times. The group will aid in Trump's efforts to fill out his new administration if, I would say when, he wins re-election in November. Kennedy confirmed the decision during an interview that aired on Monday. Now, I want to reiterate again, there are a lot of people worried about an election still happening again in November. And as I've said many times, I believe the 2020 and 2022 elections were allowed to be stolen by the White Hat. So I don't foresee the same happening again at all. Because, as Trump says, we have it all. Brian Cates writes on his Rise of the New Media newsletter, it comes down to who has the better election story, and that's no contest. Their playbook is a repeat of 2020. Meanwhile, Trump's playbook continues to shock, surprise, and discombobulate his enemies. This was published on the 29th. Let me remind you, as Burning Bright and Patel Patriot and Badlands Media podcasters keep reminding us, we're in a fifth-generation information war that can be reduced to a war of stories. And right now, it's Donald J. Trump who has the compelling story, not his enemies. What's compelling about their attempt to repeat the same playbook they used in 2020 to install a new figurehead puppet in Kamala Harris? There's no mystery, there's no suspense. We know they'll try to steal it again. And more importantly, we know exactly how they'll attempt this. If an election is held, the campaign with the far more compelling story in the national conversation will win it. An absurdly weak campaign strategy for Harris emerges. When she's not running and hiding from her adoring and fawning fake news media Matrix fans, Comrade Kamala is currently being advised to try to turn herself into a Trump clone. Again, no suspense here, no mystery at all. The playbook is known. How will they attempt to keep putting out the fake news media Matrix polls where Harris is close enough to Trump to make a steal for her even distantly plausible? They're showing you how they'll try to shape the battle landscape for the next 57 days. They are showing their hand early. I know I'm playing Captain Obvious, even bringing it up, as we've all seen this talentless bitch shamelessly steal Trump's no taxes on tips and the border wall as her own policies, after she spent her entire term as VP attacking the ideas and even helping to legislate against them. And there's a screenshot of a headline by USA Today. Kamala Harris steals another idea from Trump. Now she wants to build the wall. No joke. The border wall is just the latest example of Kamala Harris's backtracking on former stances. Her convictions seem about as deep as what the polls tell her to support. How is Harris deliberately and transparently co-opting Trump policies different from what they had Biden doing in 2020? I'm glad you asked a very relevant question. Biden ran consistently as the anti-Trump solution in 2020. He directly and vehemently repudiated all of Trump's policies on the border, the economy, foreign wars, and foreign policy. Essentially the same thing with the CIA Committee on Foreign Relations, deep state running the federal bureaucracy, and especially the State Department. Harris can't do that. She can't even begin to do that against Trump, because she's starting out in a far weaker position than Biden did against Trump in 2020. To allow her campaign team's fake news media matrix propagandists to provide cover for absurd polls showing a close race, she has to adopt any Trump policies that are polling great very quickly to prevent sinking too far back. So, with the aid of the fake news media matrix, she's brazenly seizing Trump policies for her own and then accepting massive applause from the fake news gallery for coming up with that policy. At the same time, they gloss over the fact that Trump was proposing it first. So here's the absurd and brain-jarring cognitive dissonance strategy that the Harris handlers are having to adopt from behind the scenes to make their fake polls look even halfway decent. Harris has to simultaneously run as the anti-Trump solution while openly flacking for Trump's policies, while dramatically limiting her exposure to the press so they can't ask her any questions that might embarrass her. Yes, you read that correctly. They are being forced to do this. They don't have a choice. Later, I'll explain who is completely dominating the fake news media matrix's 2024 presidential election cycle and why this will allow him to win easily, assuming an election is held. After running from the press for over 40 days and holding no press conferences since she was handed the nomination, Harris is only now agreeing to a pre-taped sit-down interview with hack Dana Bush at CNN, where Bash will attempt to toss Harris and Walz the softest of softball questions. Kamala actually can't defend the record of the Biden-Harris White House on many issues, so her exposure to being asked about her actual record as VP must be severely limited. Should anything embarrassing happen to the Harris campaign team during this non-live interview, rest assured CNN's editors will handle it. And of course they did, because they only released 18 minutes of what was a 40-minute interview. So, no air of expectation, no suspense, no butthole pucker factor. He's funny, this guy. The entire playbook they're using to steal this next election and install Harris is sitting right out there in the open months before the election, and the entire country is discussing the play and exhaustively examining it, even as the DC political establishment is attempting to run it. Now, here's what nobody's discussing, so I guess I'll try to start the conversation myself. Whose playbook is unknown? Who isn't repeating exactly what he did in 2020? Whose next couple of plays are a mystery? Who keeps surprising people with unorthodox, unexpected moves? Who's got all the suspense and curiosity-invoking developments working for him? I would suggest to you that it is this man pictured below, Donald Trump, of course. What vital story questions surround Donald J. Trump that do not surround Harris and her still mysterious handlers? Let's go over them, shall we? Will they try to kill him again? If they do, will they succeed the next time? Will they be able to successfully steal this next election from him using the exact same playbook they used the last time? Would the country accept the steal and move on from it if they were successful in stealing this second election? Would Trump just walk away again this time? Who are the other big name current former Democrats that Trump will be getting endorsements from, and who will be campaigning with him and getting key positions in his unity government? He's already rolled out RFK Jr., Kate Shanahan and Tulsi Gabbard. Who else is coming? Will they be able to send him to prison before the election is held? Would putting Trump in prison prevent anyone from voting for him? Would doing such an extreme thing actually backfire on Trump's enemies the same way all the other lawfare they've engaged in has backfired on them, resulting in Trump becoming more powerful, popular, and unstoppable? If Kamala is dumb enough to debate him, whatever the rules are, will he end her political career like he ended Joe Biden's? Trump thrives on taking hostile questions from reporters and debating them with relish. Harris mentally cracks under pressure. If it happens, it will be no contest. This 2024 election cycle belongs lock, stock and smoking barrel to Donald J. Trump. This is obvious. You can't even argue against it. And this is despite the fake news media matrix trying to prevent him from dominating their news cycle. They had a script for the past 2 years about how their coverage of all the lawfare being utilised against Trump was supposed to unfold. Trump has repeatedly continued to escape their script, seize the keyboard from them, and write his story himself. This is why they can't beat him, even trying to cheat like they did in 2020. He's not running a repeat of what he did in 2020, even though they stupidly are. He's countering them at every turn. And an ever-increasing amount of the public has kept responding to Trump's writing of his own story, not the fake news propaganda that he is a criminal insurrectionist who belongs in prison and who most certainly should not be allowed to run again for the presidency. The American public is watching this unique and very historical 2024 election cycle with rapt attention and with fascination. And it's not because Kamala Harris is a compelling figure, far from it. Instead of being the new driving figure in this election story after Democrat power brokers force Biden out of the race, Harris is and always will be nothing but a bit player. The villain of the story Trump is writing. The only compelling question in Harris's far weaker story is, can she be successfully hidden long enough to prevent too much of the public from realising she's not capable of running anything, much less the federal government? Can fake news media be successful at constantly diffusing the obvious fact that should Harris be installed in the White House, she wouldn't be running anything any more than Biden was? The public is seeing the demented current president on vacation for the second week in a row. They can't hide it. Biden is not really running anything, and he hasn't been since he was installed back in January 2020. His establishment handlers are planning on running out the clock until January 2025, when they hope to swap figurehead Biden for figurehead Harris. They expect the country to put up with this stupid charade for another 5 months. What if there's a major crisis in the intervening time of January 20th, 2025? The public knows it won't be Joe Dementia dealing with it, he's just a puppet. So who would really be dealing with any crisis that arises? We have no idea. Well, we probably do. Do people not grasp how illegal this is? The 25th Amendment should have been invoked to remove Biden from office years ago. After he's gone, the audio tape of his interview with special counsel Robert Hur will probably come out at last, when it will no longer matter. The entire country will be forced to acknowledge yet again, on listening to the tapes, that they were indeed scammed by hidden oligarchs who fooled them via fake news and vicious censorship into not only believing that Joe Dementia won the 2020 election, but that he was actually running the federal government during his one and only term in the White House. The tapes will prove everybody knew Biden had severe cognitive issues and everybody agreed to cover it up and gaslight the country that Biden is fine. The Department of Justice under Merrick Garland participated in an unconstitutional cover-up to hide that the current president was no longer fit for office, assuming he was at the beginning of his term. Advantage Trump. My friend, actor Adam Baldwin, understood back in 2016 that Trump was going to win because he was dominating the election cycle over Hillary Clinton due to his celebrity status and his ability to suck all the oxygen out of the room and leave Hillary gasping for breath any time he wanted to. And he often did. Fake news couldn't help itself. They thought they were destroying Trump in 2016 by airing clips of his rallies and then mocking what he was saying. They were, in fact, actually giving him free advertising and didn't see that the public was responding to his populist message. And by the time they figured this out, it was too late. They're making the same dumb mistake now in the 2024 election cycle, believing their endless and exhaustive coverage of the Trump lawfare trials was severely damaging him when that wasn't really the case. The insane, over-the-top, scorched-earth, burn-the-boats, vicious lawfare backfired on them over and over again, not even coming close to resulting in the desired effect on the voting public. You already watched Trump use the RFK Jr. endorsement to utterly erase that weird and absurd joyful DNC from the public's memory banks. He will continue to do that, seizing the national news cycle back from every attempt by the fake news to inject some life and some wind into the sails of the Harris campaign and leave it becalmed, dead in the water and mostly ignored as he holds the nation's attention in his hands. Trump is a consummate showman, an entertainer who is truly God's man for this hour. Harris is a barely functional moron that the bad guys had been stupidly manoeuvred into running against him. You will continue to see just how different this 2024 election battle space is from 2020. The fake news media matrix continues to fumble and stumble around, having lost its mojo after too many of the big lies they viciously gaslighted the country with for the past several years blew up in their faces. This was as the secret machinations of the censorship state were exposed, with federal officials using NGOs to illegally threaten and browbeat social media platforms into massive breaches of First Amendment rights. Trump is manoeuvring far more effectively in this new and changing 2024 election battle space than his opponents. He's building a massive populist voting bloc, especially now that he's broken the deep state's fraud paradigm of Team Red versus Team Blue, and is unifying people who were previously set at odds with each other via propaganda paid for by the oligarchs. And there's a headline from CBS News, more than 200 former Bush, McCain and Romney staffers endorse Harris. Terrified uniparty GOP from the Bush-Romney no-name camps are watching this development with abject horror. Their Conservative Inc. wing attempts to herd Trump into the conservative corral and limit him to only a much smaller conservative base have utterly failed. Oh, gee. This is why Trump keeps repudiating the Heritage Foundation's Agenda 2025. Democrats and uniparty GOP are desperate to hang the conservative label around Trump's neck as a way to limit his effectiveness at building a massive populist coalition where everyone is welcome, not just conservatives. The longer Trump stays in the game and their efforts to destroy him fail, the more they end up exposing themselves so the entire country can learn the truth about how our country is actually run and controlled from behind the scenes by billionaire oligarchs. And as Rush would say, that's a beautiful thing. I'm just going to cover a few headlines before I have to finish. The first one is Tim Walz's own brother considers joining forces with Trump, slams governor as unfit to make decisions about your future. That was Gateway Pundit. And another from Gateway Pundit, Texas State Representative Sean Thierry breaks free from Democrat Party, joins GOP in bold move against radical left. There are also plenty of people who were Democrat voters announcing that they just don't support the Democrat Party any longer because of literally the things that RFK Jr. said in his speech. And as a sign of more panic from the Democrats or the deep state, Jack Smith has indicted Trump again on the same four charges that were in the original indictment. That was before the Supreme Court considered the immunity case. And he's just changed the wording slightly to be able to resubmit it. And of course, Trump is calling that out, saying, according to the DOJ standards, you can't use lawfare against a candidate for president within 60 days of the election. So, you know, they're breaking their own rules. And just a quick mention of the UK, Prime Minister Starmer's ratings have dropped like a bomb even more. He's now talking about banning smoking outside pubs. And I think that's a revenge move, as many have said, because many pubs in London won't allow him in. They hate him so much. And also, he's doing nothing about this epidemic of stabbings going on across the country. So we all hope he's not going to last long. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and you'll join me next week for another Cosmic Creating show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Nancy for producing and to Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. You can find him at mysticalwares.com. As a reminder, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. And so until next time, stay well, be safe. Bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.